child, things are gonna get easier. Ooh, child, things will get brighter. Ooh, child, things are gonna get easier. Ooh, child, things will get brighter.
Someday, yeah, we'll put it together and we'll get it undone.
Hello, and welcome back to Naturalistic Support. I'm Arnel Doré, and joining me on the air today is our host, co-host Elaine Durbach. Hi, Elaine.
Hi, Arnel.
Naturalistic Support is a unique approach to lasting personal growth and healthier, more satisfying relationships. On this program, we help each other as we combine a progressive understanding of our human experience with peer support. So that involves you calling us to talk about yourselves as well as to talk to each other. Our number is 212-209-2877. And with just days to go before the new year, it's time to take a look back at some of our victories and setbacks in 2025. What were the high points for you? What brought you joy? And what are you most pleased about? Also, what challenges did you struggle with? And what did you learn from them? And what do you want to leave behind? To make 2026 as successful as we'd want, it's important to look at this past year in a way that empowers us. How can a naturalistic humanist perspective help us reflect on 2025 in a way that maximizes our personal growth and happiness? Well, we are going to find out. We'll get back to our topic in a minute. But first, we want to remind listeners that WBAI is still in fund drive mode. So, a couple quick points about that. Supporting this station is the best way to support the cause you care about most. No matter what you care about, what you believe in, we're your most effective megaphone. We're right in the middle of the FM dial, if you haven't noticed. And that is a powerful place to be, because people who are just going, you know, they're just going through the dial looking for something to listen to, and they hear something on WBAI, they encounter us, and you're getting somebody who might have no experience with the kinds of vantage points that WBAI offers. And it's a way to reach somebody new who's not, you know, like the internet people who find you. They're already looking, they're already putting search terms in that indicate that they already are interested in whatever your cause is if they find you that way. But when somebody finds us on the FM dial, they're just channel surfing. What happens is we're reaching somebody new, somebody we wouldn't have otherwise reached. And, you know, that's a powerful way to get your message to potential new supporters. I mean, you could... What are the alternatives? You could rent a billboard. You know, that's way expensive. Most causes can't afford to put that kind of money into just a single advertisement. Direct mail is also kind of expensive, but direct mail has very, very, very low return rate. Like maybe 3% if you're lucky of all direct mail you send out gets a response. You could blast, you do these email blasts, but I don't know about you, but you know, when I see these email blasts, I don't read them because I'm barraged by these. So for the most part, you know, I just kind of, it goes right into the trash. WBAI offers a unique, effective way to reach new supporters. So whatever you were going to contribute to your cause, if you contribute it to WBAI, most likely there's a program on this station that will benefit and represent the very thing that you care the most about, because we really do run the gamut. You know, this program in particular offers a unique approach because rather than focus on the particular political and institutional policy particulars, we are talking more about the underlying belief systems that will support progressive change. Because you could make all those changes, but unless you get at the misanthropy and the belief in magical powers that people have to decide to succeed, you know, damn the torpedoes, regardless of what you've been through, if you decide to succeed, nothing can hold you back kind of belief system, man, that is so toxic. That is the rationale for some people taking everything and other people being left with just an empty shell. And we've got to challenge that on a ideological level. And that's what this program tries to do. So what we're asking you to do is become a monthly supporter. Go to, all you have to do is you go to buddy.wbai.org, buddy.wbai.org, and there's a pull-down menu. You pick the program you're supporting. Hopefully it'll be us, Naturalistic Support. Even if you're supporting another program currently, you could, for another $5 or $10 that you can throw in because you value what you're getting here, that would do a lot. And you just indicate the amount that you're contributing monthly, and that will go a long way. You could also do a one-time donation at give2wbai, that's G-I-V-E, number 2, wbai.org. And you could even call in 833-922-4692 to make a debit or credit card payment. If our volunteers are busy, you just leave a message and they will call you back. So please contribute. We're counting on you. You've been there for us for 65 years, and hopefully we'll be around for another 65 with your generous support. So back to our show. So Elaine, we're going to talk about the year.
Yeah, it's been quite a year.
Been quite a year for many of us. We've all undergone many challenges. We've endured disappointments. We've enjoyed some successes. And sometimes we've narrowly avoided catastrophe. Challenges might have involved our occupation, our families, our health, or maybe the health of loved ones. In some cases, we may have grieved the loss of a loved one, losing them to death, or the loss of a very close relationship. I think you and I have that covered between us, Elaine.
Yeah, we sure do.
Yeah, and clearly we both continue to deal with the loss of our partners. I'm continuing to grieve the loss of an 8-year romantic relationship, and you, Elaine?
Yeah, I lost my husband last October, just over a year ago. after 30 years together.
30 years. Amazing. Yeah.
So I must say that being part of this program and learning about the philosophy of naturalistic support has really supported me, has challenged me to deal with it in a different way than I might have otherwise.
Yeah, that's great. And you know what? It works for me too. I'm in therapy, and I tell my therapist about what my mind is doing to me and how I try to therapize myself with naturalistic support. And she's always kind of, or at least she seems like she's impressed. She's like, wow, okay, that's better than I would have said to you. I'm pleased with that. And I think, it works for other people, but it also works for me. So what were the high points of 2025 for you? What were the low points? What were you most pleased about? And what challenges did you overcome? Did you learn something new this year? Was there anything in 2025 that really brought you joy? Call us at 212-209-2877. Also, did anyone come through for you in a big way in 2025? Or perhaps you were there for someone else who really needed you. Call us and tell us about it. Again, our number is 212-209-2877. Naturalistic support offers a unique perspective, really a concept, a basic concept from naturalistic humanism that can help us process the ups and downs of 2025 productively. And that involves a key idea in naturalistic humanism called meta-awareness.
I like that word. It feels like it should have been part of our vocabulary all along, except it wasn't. You created that word.
Yes, I created that word, hopefully it'll be on more people's lips. Elaine, maybe you could read us a little bit about meta-awareness.
Sure. This has been part of my learning, too. Meta-awareness refers to an awareness of the unbreakable connection between the moment we're in and everything that has led up to it. The word meta-awareness is a portmanteau word of the word meta, referring to a perspective that's transcendent or beyond, and, of course, awareness. And having meta-awareness confers significant benefits, including impelling us to recognize that our journey is more important than our destination. I love that idea. And inspiring us to live in the moment, cultivating deeper empathy and humility, and helping us to navigate life's challenges with serenity. Meta-awareness is also a key component of a naturalistic approach to spirituality.
Yeah, let me just say something about those last few ideas that you mentioned. The idea that our journey is more important than our destination, there are a lot of reasons for that. One thing people sometimes object to about accepting the determined nature of our experience is, you know, they'll say, well, if what I do is the result of the trajectory of all of these events leading up to a given moment, then, you know, how does, you know, like a goal mean anything? Because it was going to happen, whatever way it happened was going to happen based on the determinants. So how do I get real pleasure out of achieving something? And, you know, the thing is that what you recognize is that goals are important, but, you know, we're only in a situation that we've achieved the goal momentarily. That's the moment in between everything we did to get there which was a journey, and the beginning of the next journey, which for a lot of people might even start before they've reached the goal, the current goal. They'll set the next three goals. So as soon as they hit a current goal, they're back on that journey. So the journey is where we spend most of our time, right? So of course that should be the most important part, because that's where we are most of the time.
Yeah, I think that you're positioning us right in that place where we, if we're aware of what's led us up to this moment, if we look at it and see what's brought us to where we are, the challenge going forward is just that much clearer. As you say, there's a certain inevitability, but we're still in the driver's seat. We're still having to play our part.
Yeah, absolutely.
With as clear a mind as possible.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, people sometimes feel that, you know, there's futility, that if you accept that there's that we're connected causally to everything that came before, then, you know, what does what I do matter? Well, what you do matters as much as anything affects anything. I mean, we're all part of a series of causalities. You know, I used to say a chain of causality, but a chain is too simplified an image. It's more like a complex interwoven tapestry.
Yeah, it's multiple strands.
Yeah, and not only that, it's being woven as we speak. Right, so it's not just the trajectory of everything that led to a given moment, it's also the ways in which you're interacting with the present moment, which, you know, there are all these forces coming at you. So that's kind of why our behavior is emergent. But let me let you continue on, Elaine.
Okay, so meta-awareness helps us deepen our understanding that the determinants being what they are, no matter what happened in the past, events occurred the only way they could have. But meta-awareness also helps us recognize that because our future outcomes occur only as the preceding determinants allow, stress and anxiety can't help us achieve the outcomes we desire. But if we're fully present to the moment we occupy, our chances significantly improve. After all, we are one of the threads. We are part of that sum total. When events overwhelm us with adversity or sadness, it's crucial that our immediate response is effective. In challenging circumstances, some might go into blaming mode or directing anger and frustration at others. Now, we see a lot of that happening.
Yeah.
Or alternatively, at themselves, us blaming ourselves, triggering self-criticism and feelings of worthlessness. I think that's one of the things I've been getting from learning with you this year, learning not to waste energy on that self-criticism, to understand that it is a logical outcome.
Yeah.
We've given this example many times because it's a good one, that a critical event like a motorist crashing into your car can cause you to have a sudden cascade of emotions which diminish your ability for a rational, effective response. Often parties to a traffic accident will emerge from their vehicles yelling. And this is what a strong causal consciousness can help us avoid, which would be pretty amazing. When we perceive events with meta-awareness, blaming feels unnecessary and unjustified. Our thoughts and emotions become free to focus on responding to events as effectively as we can and to avoid further inflaming of an already volatile situation. Yeah, and truly understanding and accepting that given the determinants, events could not have occurred otherwise, gives us a sense of serenity that helps us deal more effectively with whatever we encounter. This sense of serenity should not be confused with the fatalistic delusion that how we act doesn't matter. On the contrary, the greater the challenge, the more crucial our response is, being calm and centered, which is precisely what meta-awareness supports.
Exactly. Yeah. That, you know, it if we're really present to the moment, then we're not going to. It helps us flow with everything. Much more effectively and in a centered way. And that's what it supports. Also another thing that meta-awareness helps us understand is that in most cases the way things play out aren't as bad as they could have gone had the determinants been different. Additionally, the same determinants that might result in a disappointing outcome at this moment, at present, may have, at other times, led to happier outcomes. For example, sometimes the very characteristics that result in two people forming a deep romantic connection might, at some future time, cause them to separate.
Yeah, that's so true. It's such a... We get tripped up by that over and over again.
Yeah, I mean, opposites will attract until they repel.
Yeah.
So that seems to happen. Similarly, determinants that currently may be causing problems may lead to happier results in the future. Now, it's true. If you had different determinants, a particular painful outcome might have been avoided. However, with those different determinants, all of the happy moments, the moments you look back on with delight, would also, most likely, not have occurred. Recognizing how both our joys and our sorrows can result from the same set of determinants is an important component of meta-awareness. I think that's really important to take in.
Yeah.
We want to hear about how you've dealt with 2025. Our number is 212-209-2877. Tell us, was there things in this year that you wished had gone differently for you? Were there things that you're pleased with how they went? Were you helpful to anyone? Was anyone very helpful to you this year? Our number again, 212-209-2877. Many fear that without holding ourselves and others responsible, motivating desirable behavior would be impossible. But not blaming is not the same as abandoning our efforts to improve ourselves and our relationships. When we understand the crucial role that our determinants play, we're provided with an indispensable lens through which to examine why we and those around us behave as we do. Appreciating that our behavior is fully caused keeps us from getting sidetracked with the anger, guilt, shame, and indignation that obstruct our ability to see clearly. And without ever being subject to blame, we can expect ourselves and others to behave in ways that are highly pro-social, and that's just based on our natural inclinations. This perspective is an essential component of a naturalistic model of human behavior. So that's basically understanding that, when people are the recipients of the developmental support that we all require, they're going to be healthy, and a healthy person is naturally inclined to want to cooperate, to want to contribute and participate and to care. We have a caller holding on the line, so let's get to that. Let's see. Okay, we'll do that. This is WBAI. You're on the air. Who's calling and where are you calling from?
Hey, good afternoon. It's Ed from Jamaica, Queens. How you doing?
Good, Ed. How are you?
I'm still here.
Okay. How was the year for you, man?
Huh?
How was the year for you?
Oh, this was this was an eventful year. You know, a lot happened to me this year with the family. I lost my father in September.
Wow.
And me and him had been at odds for many years, and this was really the first, he got ill, and this was really the first year that I really could sit down with him and see another side of him that I had never seen before. And fortunately, we got to talk, and things were said, you know, that should have been said a long time ago. But he was well.
That's amazing,
Ed.
That's so good.
I mean, he wanted to go. But it opened me up a lot.
That's great that you were able to have those moments with him. I mean, that's so precious.
Well, actually, it was precious. It was shocking. It was funny because he said things. I've known this man for over 50 years, and he said things to me this past year that I never thought, are you all right?
That's great.
He was 94, so he was very well.
Wow.
Yeah, no, that's great. That's great. So he lived a full life. How many siblings do you have?
I only got one brother.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I only got one brother, but it was the way I would want to go. If I had, everybody got to go, but I like to go that way. He went away with family and friends around him. You know, he didn't suffer too much, and it was
great.
All right. You know, I miss him. I think about him sometimes. I was going through my phone the other night, and I saw his number, and I was like, wow, you know. And it's just, you know, he taught me not to. He always wanted to travel. He was a real hard worker. He spent most of his life working for the union. He was a union rep in the TWU.
All right.
And the main thing he said, before you die, go see something. Go, you know, don't concentrate. The whole life working, he said, just go see something, go do something, go, you know, enjoy the world. And I never really thought he had that aspect, but he did. He always wanted to go to Australia. I'm gonna try to do that in a tribute to him in this year. Just you
I
know,
love that.
To see it through my eyes, whatever. But I mean, you know, I've also had relationship for 20 years. I'm kind of like y'all, you know, grief and loss. You know, but there was a saying. He was a very religious person, and he would say, "I'm not religious, but he would say, when you're with God, all things conspire to good." And like what you were saying, sometimes you'll see a thing, and depending upon where you're at, that same set of circumstances could be positive or negative. But if you can have the ability just to comprehend that, and it ain't easy, but it's true. Sometimes things are good. Sometimes things are bad. But it's all working towards the self-development, the self-growth.
Yeah, and, you know, any relationship that we lose, you know, we just have to keep in mind that the pain is really commensurate with how much joy it gave us. Like, you know, we wouldn't be in this much discomfort and pain for a loss of something that didn't give us that much pleasure. And sometimes when you get that much pleasure out of something, that, you know, the pain is a consequence, that, you know, it's an unintended consequence that you're vulnerable to.
You gotta have some skin in the game. If nothing means
there you go.
Nothing
yep.
to you, then it don't mean nothing to you. You know, you gotta have an investment, emotional, physical, financial, spiritual. You gotta have an investment, and the bigger the investment, the greater the risk, but also the greater the reward. But it's hard to comprehend that when you're in the moment. It takes a lot of time.
Exactly.
Yeah. Ed, I hope that 2026 is even, you know, a much better year for you. And thank you for your call. We got another call on the line we got to get to. Thank you, Ed. Okay. This is WBAI. You're on the air. Who's calling? Where are you calling from?
Indeed, this is Maya.
Right. Hey, Maya, long time no hear.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to hear you during the program, so I'd like to finish my comment, which is fairly brief, and then listen to your responses over the radio.
Sure.
First of all, I love this concept of meta-awareness. It reminds me of three particular books I'm diving into. One is really a booklet almost. It's 16 pages, 2-page introduction. and it features the answered written questions to by an Indian mystic, going back to the, a late Indian mystic. I believe his name is Bhagavan Sri Ramana Maharshi, and it's called Who Am I? Regarding self-inquiry, which relates to non-yar.
Yeah, my, I don't think we're going to have time for all three, but that one is,
well,
sounds...
It's going to be brief.
Yeah, okay, okay.
The other one is Howard Vernon's books and booklets about how anger is a futile exercise. And Florence Scovel Shin, S-H-I-N, the late Florence Scovel Shin, who talked about the importance of forgiveness to manifest and to demonstrate your the bliss that we're entitled to per Bhagavan.
Thank you, Maya.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate that. Okay.
Those books sound as if they're right in line with what you're saying.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We have to take our halfway break, and we'll be right back after this.
You're listening to Naturalistic Support right here on 99.5 FM. WBAI New York. Non-commercial, listener-sponsored. Peace and Justice Radio.
Little girl, why are you so sad? It's almost time for Christmas.
My family doesn't celebrate Christmas.
Oh, Jewish?
Uh-uh.
Muslim?
Uh-uh.
Buddhist?
Nope. My family doesn't practice any religion, and we don't believe in things that are supernatural.
But haven't they heard? There are many ways to enjoy and celebrate Christmas that are completely naturalistic.
Really?
Really! And this Christmas, they can learn all about having a perfectly wonderful naturalistic Christmas on Equal Time for Free Thoughts Naturalistic Christmas Special.
Naturalistic Christmas Special?
That's right!
When?
From 3 to 5 on Christmas Day.
3 to 5 Christmas Day!
Right here on 99.5 WBAI.
We're back. You're listening to Naturalistic Support, and we are talking today about the year. Looking back at 2025, what was it like for you personally? What were the things that you liked about 2025? What were the challenges? What were the successes? What was perhaps painful or stressful or difficult for you? Our number is 212-209-2877. And I would also like to remind our listeners that we're in a fun drive. Did you know we're in a fun drive, Elaine?
It's a lot of fun, but I wish we had more airtime for talking about what we're talking about.
Yeah. But at the same time, the only way we'll have any airtime is if people chip in and keep us going, because there are a lot of bills. You know, 1 month costs us about $65,000.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. You know, and that's a combination of the rent, the tower rent. The tower rent is enormous, and we even tried to cut it down. We gave our very desirable position in the Empire State Building, we gave it up and took a much lower tower position at Four Times Square, and what we boosted our signal to compensate, so we still serve this 90-mile radius around in the greater New York metropolitan area. So we're reaching a lot of people. There are enough people to support this station and keep it going, but you have to, that means you. That means you individually. We can't wait for someone else to do it. You know,
I did that this morning. I decided my Christmas Hanukkah gift to WBAI should go in now.
Oh, that's great. That's great. You know, all the producers are working on volunteer time. You know, to produce 1 hour of radio, it takes a ridiculous amount of production hours. I mean, we're talking about, like, could be 8, could be 10, could be even 12 hours to produce 1 hour of radio. And I do it every week. That's one of my, on my list of stuff that I like about this past year is in September we had our 1 year, 52 consecutive shows, our 1 year anniversary for Naturalistic Support.
That's an amazing achievement.
Given
what you put in every week.
Yeah, I really, really feel good about that. Maybe we can actually talk about our lists of 2025, the victories and the setbacks. Again, and we want to hear from listeners as well. Our number is 212-209-2877. But I just want to say, you go to buddy.wbai.org and sign up for a monthly donation to support this station, buddy.wbai.org. And that's number one on my list. In September, reaching Naturalistic Support's 1 year anniversary, 52 weeks continuous program. Feel good about that.
Let's hear some more of what's on your list, Arnell. Are you prepared to tell us?
Yeah. So let's see. I produced the query package. So you got to send query letters when you finish a book. Last year, I finished my book, so it's not on this year's list, but I did start getting out my query letters, sent out my first query letters. I also finished the book proposal, and Elaine, you gave me a hand with that. That was helpful. I also started, and this is just most recently, last week, I actually started the process of establishing the Center for Naturalistic Humanism. It's going to be a non-profit organization, and it's going to promote this work. But the WBAI listeners, you heard it first. You heard it here. Like so many things on WBAI, Bob Dylan, when did people hear it first in mass? On WBAI, playing for Bob Fass. It, you know, the traditions of WBAI is long and storied, and we can't say enough about what it's meant to so many of our lives. This year also might not seem like a lot to people. It sounds kind of trivial when I say it, but boy, was it an ordeal for me. I switched over from decades of PC use to being a Mac user, and I upgraded my home. Yeah, and I upgraded my home workstation. I went from working off a laptop screen to working with two 27-inch monitors, and it's been a wonderful change. But oh my God, was that challenging and intimidating? But
I gotta say, you function. You have a very young mind in terms of how open you are to learning new things and your ability to learn new things.
Yeah, if only I had a young back, but I'll take the back I have, because I could have gotten a worse one, right? So, you know, we all take a drawer out of the, you know, we draw our sticks, and we could have gotten a shorter one. So,
plus you do an amazing job at protecting your health.
Yeah.
Supporting your health.
Yeah, I tried to. Last night I was in the freezing cold. I did get myself to jump into the pool and do my 25 laps, yeah. And that was good. Night before I went to the gym, and Friday I'm going to see my hiking buddy, and we're going to go for our 4 or 5 mile hike. So, yeah, I'm trying to, you know, be like a young guy in his 70s, although I'm not in my 70s yet. But when I get there, I'd like to still be healthy. And let's see, this year, given my romantic setback of the previous year, I searched for a romantic partner. I got back on the horse, and I joined eHarmony, and I went to some speed dating events, and close but no cigar yet. But
that's like you're going to the gym and swimming. You're keeping your heart, your emotional life healthy by trying, by taking chances.
Yeah, that's true. Let's see. In September, early October, I made a sojourn to spend a couple days with my daughter and her wife up in Syracuse, and that was a kind of a big thing for me, because my relationship with my ex ended, I haven't been traveling, and doing that trip was sort of like I had to get past the emotional inertia, but I did it, and I'm so glad I did. It was a wonderful trip, and bonded with my daughter, and that was great. On my list is also something that people do without batting an eye, but for me, it always feels like a Sisyphean task. I got my taxes prepared.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It takes me days and days, but because I do, like, you know, the extended thing with form, and I have to. But I did it. On the new computer system this year, I taught myself two new sound editing programs. One, Ocean Audio, which was simple, but the more complicated one I'm really struggling with, but I'm in there and I'm struggling. It's Logic Pro for Mac, and man, is it challenging. Last week, I also had a pretty awful setback. I lost a close lifetime friend, my friend John Zaff. The guy joined my band in 1981. He answered a Village Voice ad, and we bonded ever since, and our lives were very, very intertwined. He was at my wedding, best man at my wedding. I was at his. So, yeah, that loss is big. My fifth close male friend to go.
These are long, long-lasting friendships. You really sustain friendships
for
a long time.
Yeah, I did. And then the last thing I put on my list is at my daughter's own suggestion, my younger daughter, Valerie, I've gotten much closer and spent more time with her. She wanted me to spend more time, and I was delighted she did. It did mean me coming to her, because she doesn't seem to have time to travel to me, but she's not that far away. She's in Manhattan. I'm in Jersey. I've been doing that. So that's my list. We want to hear your list too. Oh, we
have a feeling that some of these ingredients are definitely present for our listeners too.
Yeah,
the tech challenges and the friendship challenges.
Yeah, well, we have an opportunity to find out right now. Let's see.
Okay, can I welcome this person?
Please.
Yeah, hi. This is WBAI. You're on the air. Who's calling? And where are you calling from?
My name is Charles, and I'm calling from New York City.
Hi, Charles. We could barely hear you. If you could just really talk as loud as you can right into the phone there. Thank you.
Is that better?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I hope you're all both well, and happy holidays to everyone, and good tidings and all the beautiful things that come with those. I so appreciate your words, and there's no question that when we talk about the word meta, it sounds like we're going into something that's definitely quantum or quantum science.
That's big.
And I appreciate. Now, I have a question. So is it, can you repeat what it is, the word you invented?
It doesn't have the A in the middle, so it's portmanteau, so it's meta-awareness, awareness.
When I heard Mayat say that, I thought it was meta awareness.
Yeah. Cool. She put the extra A in there, but it's that doesn't roll off the tongue like meta awareness does.
Right, exactly. Right, and aside from that, it is your word because I've never heard anyone say that, and it's wonderful. And the ambiguity that wraps with this word is just fantastic.
Thank you, Charles.
You're very welcome. I also feel as a quantum thinker myself to some parts. I think we all are, tying a shoe, believe it or not, when you didn't have all the synapses in your brain to tie a shoe, required billions or millions of synapses to come together just to learn to tie a shoe. So believe it or not, tying a shoe could be that. So I have a question. Is it possible, because I'm trying to simplify this, and could we say that the meta-awareness is also a form, because I hear, I believe what you're trying to allow me to feel, and I want to feel it, and I'd like your permission for it. Could I say that it's where intellect versus emotion, and where that cross-section meets?
That's really interesting, Charles.
I like that. Not versus, but where they meet.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's you know, we're always filtering our experience. And our experience might be intuitive, it might be emotional, it might be physical, you know, neurological. But ultimately, all of those different avenues of perception have to go through our rational brain for anything productive to come of it, right?
Yeah.
If we're going to have a productive response, an effective response, a response that results in something that we're satisfied with, all of those experiences that aren't rational and reason-based have to go through that filter. And it is true that when we're meta-aware, we're having this experience that we're recognizing kind of the complexity that in our emotional state or intuitive state or other kinds of our physical state, it might not experience the intellectual complexity that we associate with meta-awareness. But I think it can be, you can be in the moment. You could know, you could emotionally feel that this moment there's a valence to this moment that's not disconnected from everything that led to it.
I appreciate that. And I know there's a bunch of people out there when they try to think of this instead of trying to remember so much of a conversation that whether you and I and so many conversations of past have been. What I look at one of the weaknesses I think that we hold really well is only to challenge our intellect against what emotions would be. Think about it. When all these people come out and they right away react with their emotions so much, and I say, well, if you really wanted to be part of who that you want to have friends around or be lovers or be friends and have it last for a very long time, I think when we control our emotions, it's the effort of what you're saying, and it's grabbing that moment to understand, and then what you said before is a causality to say, well, if I take the responsibility for this and say, you know what, It's so easy to be full of emotions and raging. Anyone could do that. It's the most simplest, primalist thing to do, I think.
Yeah. But Charles, let me just say one other thing about the emotional response and how our emotions can be informed by meta-awareness. When we see another person struggling and we immediately feel empathy for that person and sympathy, and we can recognize that, you know, we might not like what we're seeing, but we, you know, or like the behavior that we're observing, but we understand, we emotionally get it, that something propelled this person to be in this place. They didn't just magically make a decision to do this thing.
Agreed.
They, you know what I'm saying? So that's an emotional, that's almost on an emotional level. So I wouldn't just, I wouldn't separate it with that kind of wall. I think
but this is, as Charles said, where you bring the intellect and the emotional to a meeting point.
Yeah. Yeah.
A balance.
Challenge. And that, if I ever could say anything to anyone who wants to have a better anything, you know, whoever you meet, you want, even our top people, guiding people, think about as they create a wave, we're feeling that wave in a reference of meta-awareness, and is there more to it? And I kind of made notions in some of the writings I wrote that if they missed that things, they would love to have those things. As a joke, what do you get a rich person for a birthday? And the answer is really nothing. They have everything, but quantitatively, when you say the word but, it negates everything behind it.
Yeah. Charles, we actually have to wrap up. So thank you so much for your call, and call us again.
I appreciate your show, and have happy holidays to everyone and all the beautiful listeners out there. Happy, healthy, and prosperous.
Thank you, Charles.
You too. Yeah.
That's a good one.
And do you believe it, Elaine? We've actually reached that time.
It's been so fast.
Yeah. I just want to remind listeners to please, please sign up for a small donation on our behalf at buddy.wbai.org or buddywbai.org. And you've been listening to Naturalistic Support's look at our victories and setbacks of 2025. I'm Arnel Duray, and today I was joined by Elaine Durbach. Thank you, Elaine.
It was my pleasure. It went too fast.
Yep. Also, thanks to our trusty engineer, Red Johnson, and to Hilla Weiss for her support. Tune in again next Wednesday, Christmas Eve, at 2 p.m. to talk about how holiday expectations and disappointments are affecting us. And on Christmas Day, be sure to catch our Naturalistic Christmas special, jam-packed with fun. If you missed any portion of today's program, you could find us in the WBAI archive at wbai.org and also at equaltimeforfreethought.org. Stay where you are, because coming right up is the Katie Halper Show. Hi to my foster mom, Marilyn. And remember, always try to understand and try to be kind, because you never really know what someone else is going through.
Are you reeling in the years, stowing away the time? Are you gathering up your tears? Have you had enough of mine? Are you reeling in the years, throwing away the time? Are you gathering up the tears? Have you had enough of mine?
You've been telling me you're a genius since you were 17. In all the time I've known you, I still don't know what you mean. The weekend at the college didn't turn out like you planned. The things that pass for knowledge I can't understand.
Are you reeling in the years?